This Heart of Show Business episode has been brought to you by its sponsor, The Eden Magazine. The Eden Magazine focuses on awareness and educational articles to promote and emphasize humane and environmental content for the next generation of animal lovers. The Eden Magazine is available online and in print to take you to the world of living a healthier, in harmony, and cruelty-free world.
Welcome to the Heart of Show Business. I am your host, Alexia Melocchi. I believe in great storytelling and that every successful artist has a deep desire to express something from the heart to create a ripple effect in our society. Emotion and entertainment are closely tied together. My guests and I want to give you insider access to how the film, television, and music industry works. We will cover dreams come true, the road less traveled, journey beginnings, and a lot of insight and inspiration in between. I am a successful film and television entrepreneur who came to America as a teenager to pursue my show business dreams. Are you ready for some unfiltered real talk with entertainment visionaries from all over the world? Then let's roll sound and action. Well, hello to the listeners of the Heart of Show Business. As you know, I am expanding my reach. I'm no longer bringing on incredible artists, but I'm actually bringing on trailblazers and game changers, because this is really what the world needs more of. And we need to validate them and celebrate them and get to hear their journeys, because through their journeys, we also in turn get uplifted and inspired, whether we are content creators or just people trying to make the world a better place, no matter our profession. So with me today, I have a very special guest who I also call a friend because I met him through the Eden Magazine. We both are very, very active in the promotion of this amazing, amazing publication by Marianne Morrison. This is how him and I met. Keith Mitchell is a star athlete. He was an NFL player. He played for the New Orleans. It's Italian, people, so like I can't say it right. New Orleans Saints. He also was the NFL highest draft player at the time. He suffered an injury, which he'll tell us about. And of course, as it happens, when you're somebody who's super fit and super used to working with your body, you know, it can kind of take you for a spin. So he went into, you know, depression issues and all of that. And then he ended up writing a book and finding yoga and finding breath work and doing retreats and doing all kinds of great stuff, starting a foundation. So I can't wait to dive deep with all this wonderful chatting. Welcome to my show, Keith.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be with you and have some fun dialogue around the work or play that we do.
Yes. I mean, I have to tell you. So this is what I'm curious about, because I wonder if the spiritual path, or, you know, the self-awareness path, is a little bit easier on somebody who, say, is an athlete, right? Because when you're an athlete, you are actually already prone to having a very strong discipline with your body. So let me ask you something. Do you think that people who are involved in sports or are athletes are having a little bit of an easier path trying to find that discipline that is so much needed when you are going into more of a self-awareness and connection with yourself? How was the journey for you?
Well, how I look at it is the people who achieve the highest stake, because to achieve and be skillful, you have to have discipline. It's like to show up, you have to practice, you have to be on your P's and Q's. I mean, it's work. And unfortunately, a lot of our society, we just don't have that as a norm. Most people don't push themselves beyond complacency. And so, unfortunately, that's just how the world is created and made. And so, but in this space of whether it be athleticism or military or just high-level CEO, is easier because you already have that mindset and that practice of and that discipline to stay focused. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. I think also because you're forced to stay present. I mean, when you're playing a game as an athlete, any kind of game, you have to be present. You have to inhabit your body and be in the game. You can't just be playing and trying to score and do a touchdown and then thinking, oh, gee, did I like leave like the oven open, or, you know, have I fed my cat or my dog? You can't afford to do that because otherwise you're just going to lose, right?
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. And in a game, it is focus. And in the world that we live in, is presence, which is so interesting because I define presence having a lot to do with your innate intelligence. And so when you begin to have these moments that we get to gain in all facets of our lives, we get to bring every time we show up, bring our full engagement, our full intelligence to the discussion.
That is so true, Keith. And I have to wonder, I mean, how much did your focus or awareness or presence have any role in playing? I mean, you suffered an injury, a horrible injury while playing, and I think you were paralyzed for quite a few months. How did you get yourself out of that darkness? Because, I mean, it's very easy to go into a depression when you're used to mastering your body and then your body is just like not following because of an injury. What happened there? What was the journey like?
Well, I think, well, the journey was obviously life-changing. I didn't really have a guidebook. It was just, I was just kind of going with an intuition that led me from not, you know, taking on an operation, to not taking pharmaceuticals, and also defying what was being told to me by the authoritarian, meaning the doctor, you know, potentially I wouldn't be able to walk or I wouldn't be able to do this. And really just as a dare, as a challenge, I'm like, how dare you? How dare you tell me what I can't do? And like, and am I going to allow someone define my reality? That's just how I'm wired. And so I obviously defied it, and I searched out my healing, which gives me another note that when you're injured, you realize you need healing. It seems in our society, as we're not physically maybe an ailment or something that is really a tangible force right now, but we are injured in regards to trauma, in regards to experiences that we've been through, and we don't realize or recognize it as an injury.
That is so true. I've been talking to quite a few healers lately because, of course, like you, I'm always in the journey of evolution and self-discovery. And obviously with the pandemic, there's been so much stress in our lives. And of course, all kinds of physical expressions of this stress have shown up in many people's bodies. And, you know, everybody thinks the root of stress is obviously mindset and how we think and how we interpret life, right? So was there a specific, you know, spiritual leader, a specific book that almost like launched you on your journey when you were injured and you're like, I got to find a way to heal myself? Or was it something that you just almost sensed your way out of it?
Well, you know, it was two things that really were life-changing through the experience. I would say the first, the nurse, she talked to me about breathing, and she asked me a question, do you know what happens when you breathe? And I never thought of it, you know, and in this space, I began to question this with the curiosity, what happens when I breathe? And she told me on the inhale, the diaphragm pushes down, on the exhale, it pushes up. And so through the process, you're massaging your internal organs, which really, that's where our emotional body is. It harvests in those organs, you know, the kidney, you have fear, anger, the liver, and worry in the gut. And so the reality of being able to process what I was going through, which how I define stress is the interpretation of the experience. So maybe I'm too linear. Maybe I need to step back. Maybe I need to just get a broader perspective of it. So it began to help me with the processing mechanism for what I was experiencing at that time. And number two, this book, The Art of Loving by Eric Fromm. And it began to expand my understanding of the simplicity of like things that I even talked about. I talked about I love football. You know, and it was a game I did to the capacity that I had at the time, love, but I started to realize how little I did know about loving.
Did you ever feel, because of course your career kind of got snatched away from you, obviously you're going through the process, you're healing your body, but I would presume you can no longer be an athlete at the top of his game, you know, or can you get back into the NFL, or do you make a choice you that's not important to you anymore? And then, of course, that's associated with a lot of material things, you know, like making good money and having a certain lifestyle. Was there a decision for you where you said that kind of lifestyle, even if I was well, even if I could play again at the NFL and be an athlete, I don't want to do this anymore? Was there a moment where you kind of thought about that?
Well, I mean, I've fought for that idea, that identity of myself, because that's all I knew. And obviously the unknown is so, can be so scary at times, I guess. But, you know, but the reality was I couldn't, you know, my neck wasn't going to be able to support me in the position that I was as a linebacker. I needed that. And so there was no way I could really play the game. So what I was really focused on at the time in that sense was just being functional. And I think when you really get into, you know, how they say and they make the statement, everything is consciousness, which really means awareness. When you begin to be more aware, I think that begins to detoxify the ideas that we have about life and what we actually need with this thing we call life, you know?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I love that. I love the detoxification process from the inside out, you know, versus just the body. So you start first with the breath work and then you started reading the books. When were you in a position physically to start practicing yoga? Because obviously yoga can be strenuous and, you know, especially if you've had a back injury. Did you start doing yoga right away? Was it easy? Was it hard? What was it like?
No, it was a process. So I couldn't move. So I had a spinal contusion. So it was in my cervical spine, my C3 and my C4. And so I had my whole right side of my body was basically just numb and I had no feeling in it. So that was a paralysis that I faced and dealt with for basically a little bit over a month. And really, so what I did was I isolated myself in that sense. In that sense, we look at it in the Buddhist text, they call it vipassana, where you're just in a solitude. And in that solitude, I got an opportunity to experience myself unlike any other time I've ever could remember. And in that idea of talking about earlier about the curiosity of the breathing and never really asking myself, what happens when I breathe? You know, like just maybe people who are listening to this podcast here, you know, the curiosity, again, that's what allows us to continue to have a thirst for growth and knowledge. It's like the child. It's like at some point we stop asking the question, like, why? You know, maybe the parent told us to shut up and stop asking questions. But however, that curiosity begins to deteriorate something within us as humans, because our whole quest is to gain knowledge. Knowledge and understanding, which is an awareness. And so for me, it put me on a whole different spectrum of just diving into myself unlike I ever did before in my life.
Wow. I love what you said about curiosity. Interesting enough, a few episodes back, I had Didi Pfeiffer on my show. She's an actress on Michelle Pfeiffer's sister, and she's on Big Sky. And she was talking about addiction, you know, because of course she's a recovering addict and she's talking about her own spiritual journey. And one of the things that she said is whenever there was something that she was feeling resistance on, instead of being resisting and going, no, 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 she said, what if I open my hand and my palm, you know, instead of like being like this, like I go like this, which is curiosity, like open palms, open hand, and look at the situation with curiosity. And then all of a sudden, there will be no more internal fighting within herself, and therefore no need to drink or do a drug or whatever that is. So
yeah, that is so interesting because I feel a lot of the things that come out, as we call it, addiction, because humans by nature have addictive personalities, just like, say, fear or any other type of thing like this. And so what I suppose to people is to create a new relationship with these concepts, because it could be as much as coffee. It could be as much as I must run my 5 miles a day before I get my day started. It's the nature of humans, because really what we're trying to do is medicate a lot of things and a lot of questions that we have that goes unanswered. And we don't have anybody to talk to about these things. So we got all this built up inside of us and it must come out some kind of way. So we look to create things that allows this outburst to happen some kind of way, you know?
Yeah.
I begin to see that as that when I deal with the addiction patients. That's why coming to the next point is that, you know, deflecting is a pattern. We begin to be, you know, we begin to shut down and close down as a pattern. And so it's so interesting what you just said about Pfeiffer, Dee Dee Pfeiffer, you said, did I say her name correctly?
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
In my playbook, I have this online course that I'm creating. And so I'm giving you something to like a call to action, like what to do, thought, speech, and action in regards of all aspects that we're dealing with in life. So we can actually have an expression or response that doesn't create a pattern of closing down and shutting down. So we can do what? Solve problems and deal with really those really intricate and difficult conversations that we need to deal with.
I know that you, of course, you wrote a book called The Mindfulness Playbook, and I would think that your course is a spinoff of that, correct?
Yeah, it is. And basically, I'm doing it off of a concept of sports, because what maybe the listeners may not know is every team has a different sign language, verbal language. We have a whole different identity of when we talk about the game, and we do that so the other teams can't see our secrets when we're communicating on the field. Yeah. And so what I'm suggesting is that in life, because in life, the human is playing the game and it's our experiences. It's creating a better awareness about the experience so we can perform better in an authentic way. And so I'm creating a realization of realizing your attributes and also your so-called weaknesses. And so we begin to make those a point of emphasis in our off season. And our off season for the human is when we're in a downtime of solitude or meditation.
Wow, I love that. That is just brilliant. So I would guess that it's inspired by your own experience, because, you know, you did go into solitude, you know, when you were healing yourself and your body and your mind. Was that the moment where you found your purpose? And what would you say? I know everybody's saying, what's your purpose? What's your purpose? And it's kind of like a silly question. But if you were to define Keith Mitchell today, you know, stripped of the pro athlete and all of that, what would that be? And how did that purpose come about from this solitude?
Well, I mean, stripping all the things with sports, I would have to say, you know, my father and my mother been married 47 years or so, 48 years. And, you know, they raised me with the pure intention. My father's a preacher. I was raised, you know, seeing my parents treat people well, do support, you know, give to people. And so basically that's where I'm coming from. That's the lineage, that's my pedigree that I'm coming from. That's what I saw. And so it's a continuation. When I look at purpose, what I say is, like, you know, how you do things is how you do things. And what I'm suggesting to us is the whatever internal problem that you feel you have or you've experienced is not just your problem or your issue, it's the world's issue. And if we realize ourselves as an opportunity, whether it be through deciding what business to create in the world, what foundation to create in the world, when you begin to make and prioritize a problem-solving concept around the things that you've experienced, you create a whole market for yourself. You actually have an existing market that you just are not aware of. A lot of times we think we're the only ones that experience these things, but you got a whole market of people just waiting for you to show up and share your story and be that medicine for the world. So I feel how we do things is how we do it. And for me, at this point in my life, I just want to be a better problem solver.
Oh, I love that. And yeah. Thank you so much. I mean, you know, you're obviously being a speaker. You know, you've been even on Michelle Obama's Let's Move campaign. You have shared speaking stages with some of the top, you know, spiritual leaders and CEOs in the world. You write your book, and then you also do a lot of work. You have a foundation called the Light Up Foundation. Can you tell me a little bit more what this is about?
Well, the Light Up Foundation initially was just to showcase the in the community in Los Angeles to showcase the organizations that are doing amazing work. I feel in our environment, everything is so competitive. And so what happens is maybe because we're bidding for the same amounts of money and we just kind of hide ourselves from the other. But it's like the whole purpose of building is creating the collective approach. And so I felt it's necessary that the organizations know each other. It's necessary that we create a stage to promote these organizations. And so that's really what the Light Up Foundation was initially about. Again, just sharing the awareness, the information, so we can be in the know. I feel the age of the information is to be in the know. It's like I say, you know, the old paradigm was to believe. At this point, we've lived life long enough, we can know. So what do you know?
Mic drop here. That is an amazing Instagrammable quote. I absolutely love. It is the time to know. And I think it is time to open our eyes. And it is time to be doing more breathing and more being in the body and more being aware of other people. Because ultimately, like you said, we're all love. We're all different incarnations of love. And we're all connected. And, you know, I think that what you are doing is just mind-boggling. Because, I mean, again, going back, so I mean, you're going back into the yoga practice, of course, which is it something that you practice every day? Or are you like me who says, oh, I'm doing one, and then like 3 days go by and then I'm no discipline?
You know, yoga is such a phenomenal practice. It combines the mind, body, and spirit. It actually puts it to a tangible to make sense. It's like if you know, and just put this in the thought of the minds of maybe the people watching, like, okay, or listening. Think of the term surrender. Well, you can speak this term, but if you don't experience it, meaning embody it, well, then you'll never have a relationship to it. You can't just show up and say, okay, I'm going to surrender. This is why the massage therapist is holding your arm, doing your massage, and say, relax, and you got it so tight because you can't surrender, you know? So the idea is, by creating a practice for what surrendering looks like, or even compassion, or even forgiveness, you know, patience even. These are concepts that we begin to cultivate through practices. And so we must have a tangible activity that's going to allow us to embody this experience. There's a saying, no one can speak you into liberation. You must first embody it. And so this is what yoga gets an opportunity to present as a practice for us. And it doesn't just look like a physical practice either. Conversations are also a yoga practice, meaning you will have tension, you will have resistance. And the idea is not to run from the resistance, but to go into it.
Wow. And you're right. It's being in flow, right? I mean, there is a reason why there is a flow of yoga poses. It's being in a state of flow. And that's actually something that I'm discovering lately is that, you know, obviously there's so much fear and scarcity mindset, you know, post this crazy past 3-4 years. And I always have to remind myself, because we're always looking at the worst. So we're always going, oh, what if this goes wrong? What if it goes right? And why not we change the paradigm of the way that we speak to ourselves and being in a state of flow and surrender and allowing and saying, what if I can actually be happy no matter what, or I can be joyful, or I can, you know, be present or enjoy the moment or celebrate my life right here, right now. And I think what if is so important, and how you put that in the right context, right?
I agree with that. And some people may listen and say the flow kind of sounds hippie-ish. We also abide by a concept called intention. And in every moment, we have an intention for why and what's the reason for us being here and how we're choosing to be here. And so by having an intention to everything that we do, we get things done.
Yeah. Yeah. Intention is everything. And intention, if you're clear on who you are, becomes effortless versus just, like you said, sometimes intention out of striving and aspiring and just being very rigid. I wonder, with you being an athlete, I mean, I know, for example, that athletes sometimes do have a hard time with yoga because, you know, your muscles are very tight, right? Because you've been an athlete and you have to be constantly like almost like in a tense mode, I feel, from what I've heard. And then that becomes a relaxation. Was that a challenge for you emotionally and spiritually to practice that until you got good at it?
Yeah, and even the idea is not really based on getting good. It's just allowing yourself to be and whatever that looks like. So it was so interesting. I did this television show, Too Hot to Handle. And one of the things I did with the group, I made them paint themselves up and all kinds of stuff to make them look really just crazy. Because in the space of love, it's not going to always be perfect. It's going to be a lot of crazy moments, you know? And so the idea with the yoga practice, you know, we have a saying, on the inhale is who you think you are, and on the exhale is who you truly are. And so through the process, we begin to allow that to happen, to allow that authenticity come through and be okay with that. Because through the long haul, that's who you truly are. And that's who you can be without all the other stressors. Or, I got to show up like this. I got to show up like this. You can show up as me. Present in that moment, holding that intention and allowing yourself to be that light that you truly are.
That is so beautiful. I can already feel myself. I'm already relaxed, but I'm like ready for a nap now because it feels so nice and warm and fuzzy, Keith. I mean, you have to tell our listeners now about your online course and what's coming up for you, because I know you're doing retreats. Obviously, there is a book that people can read. So what's lining up for you, Keith, and how can people participate in this beautiful spiritual approach of yours to make their lives a little better?
Yes, well, you can go to my Instagram, KeithMitchell59. My book is the Mindfulness Playbook, you know, and then I have an online meditation album actually as well. So if you like the sound of my voice, I can kind of take you through a brief concept of a meditation and how I present it. And also the course that we have, I'm really excited about the course. It's my first endeavor with the online course. It's 6 modules. And I take you through a concept of the various topics. And we just kind of get an opportunity to just dive into a deeper realm of it, you know, really challenging the yoga of conversation, you know, sharing the information. So we get to kind of go into it that way. So I'm really excited about how that's going to be received in the public. And please check it out. I got a new website coming too. So yeah, KeithMitchell59.com.
I love that. And of course, we'll be promoting it through our shows on a regular basis. I can't
wait. Oh, but the event with Eden Magazine. What about that?
Goodness, we forgot about that. Because we had a few date changes. And so I got, yes, please tell us about the event of the wonderful Eden Magazine and your partnership with them and your own partner and what this is going to be about. Please do speak up, and I'm all ears, and as are my listeners.
Yes, I'm so excited about, you know, Eden. I just love Eden and Miriam and her husband. So those are just, they're like family to me. They are family to me. So anyway, so we're doing this collaboration in Santa Monica. It's going to be basically a mindfulness reboot, you know, weekend. Or, you know, we haven't decided if it's going to be just one day or 2 days. We're kind of in the development stage of that. But we're going to have a jam packed with some amazing variation of teachers that kind of have different, you know, unique styles of presenting. We're going to have panel discussions. We're going to have cooking classes. We have an ecstatic dance lineup. I have that set up. We got some performance. You know, it's just going to, we're going to give you the whole shebang. You're going to come out, you're going to come in, bring your stress, bring your things that you're just dealing with, bring it. And by the time you leave, you're going to just be floating out the door.
So I'm telling you, I'm just coming just for the ecstatic dance, because I have been watching that on Instagram. They have one like every Sunday. There's like the ecstatic dance sailing. I'm like, I gotta go. I have a girlfriend of mine that's space yoga, and just like, it's very much like us. It's like, we gotta go do the ecstatic dance.
Well, I'm also in the process of working with the Unified School District to get some of the kids. I want to have some events for the kids and their parents to come and be a part, and have it work with the city council to, get that taken care of, so they can have the opportunity to be in the space with us as well. So it's going to be a lot of twists to it. I got the LAPD. I was one of the first to bring mindfulness to the LAPD, did a department there. So I've done a lot of work there in these areas. So I'm going to have all these, KTLA, and we're going to have them be, LA Yoga, we're looking at them to be a main sponsor as well. So we're going to have a nice mixture of well-rounded of people coming in the nature of just wanting to reboot, recircuit, and also arm themselves with some tools to be what? Better problem solvers, because we need better problem solvers in our society today.
Yeah. And you know what? I think we also need to connect with like-minded people. We have been so disconnected, living inside our computers and inside our homes, which has been great, like you said, because we got to isolate, and we got to, all of a sudden, I don't know about you, when there was a pandemic, I could go walking, I could see the birds and the bees and literally be in nature, because there was nothing else to do. But then it feels to me that once life got back to normal, people like completely forgot everything that happened. And, the great reset, or the, grand awakening, whatever you want to call it, the new world that is being built. And then we're so busy into striving and striving and striving. And I think that it's so important to be surrounded by like-minded people, do the work, be with people like Keith and the teachers that he's going to bring in and the speakers he's going to bring in, and also connect with like-minded people, because that's all we need. We all need to be more connected, right?
Yeah. And, I like the term of curious people, people who are curious, because in curiosity, it gets us excited about waking up each day. It's the stimuli that we need. That the only stimuli, in my opinion, that we need to really be excited about just getting up and just experiencing the day. I think it's a change of insight with that. I think I like to be around curious people. And then the like-minded can come after that, however, but just people. Because you may not have ever practiced yoga. You may never have meditated. That's okay. You can still be a part of the event, and because we can share with you how, and you can find your way with it. So it can be a beautiful thing. It will be a beautiful experience. So you want to be there.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, my goodness. This has been such a great conversation. My cat seems to agree, because she's meowing. She heard you. She's like, oh, yeah, I like Keith. I'm going to speak up now. She's like, I'm going to sing, and I'm going to do my own little, transcendent dance and ecstatic dance and all that great stuff. So, Keith, in closing, if there was, is there somebody in the spiritual, obviously the books, but is there somebody that you, I don't want to say what you look up to, because I mean, there's so many wonderful people out there, and I don't think we want to idolize anybody, but let's say that there's some quote or something that really stayed with you that you, repeat to yourself in a moment of darkness, which one would that be?
Wow. That's a tough one. I love tough questions, but man, you just hit me with a, I have one here, and I'm cheating. I'm gonna have to read it.
That's okay.
have a relationship that is mature enough to sit down, like, look, this is our problem, and this is how I like to fix it. So let me repeat that. Have a relationship that is mature enough to sit down and be like, look, this is our problem, and this is how I like to fix it.
Yes. That's a beautiful one. Also, because when we're having relationships with other people, whether they're romantic, friendships, work, or whatever, always nobody says, how are we going to fix it? They say, this is a problem. And then they're just vomited out. And then it's like, okay, I love like this, the added, how are we going to fix it? Or this is how I would like to fix it. This is a beautiful quote, Keith, and very insightful and very different and very unique, which is what I love. Instead of you rambling on and, you know, we talk about Oprah, Maya Angelou and, you know, Khalil Gibran, and we could quote everybody, Louis A. Abdelkaboos, but this is a good one.
That's
a good one. Well, to all my dear listeners, I'm sure you got some great insights with this amazing conversation with Keith. Please follow my Instagram, please follow my social. I will be posting a lot of links on the show notes. However, I'll keep posting updates on the activities of Keith, his events, his retreats, what he's been up to. Follow the journey, read his books. Keith, has been wonderful to have you as a guest on my show. I can't wait to share this episode. And literally, thank you for being in the world and thank you for who you are and what you stand for.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure having a conversation with you about these things. I can't wait to see you again.
Over and out. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Heart of Show Business. If you enjoyed it, please share it with a friend. You can also subscribe, rate, and review the show on your favorite podcast player. If you have any questions or comments or feedback for us, you can reach me directly at theheartofshowbusiness.com.